It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Later this hour, I'll talk with Dr. Christopher Burrish, co-founder of Community Health Initiative Haiti and recipient of the 2014 Governor's Individual Volunteer Award announced yesterday. But first, the lost Clara Hughes of Paul Ingram. Paul is best known as the book buyer at Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City. You hear him several times a year, giving his latest picks on this program. And now he's selling his own book. It is a quirky collection of rhymes. And Paul is here with me now. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Charity.
Welcome back to the show. And instead of me trying to explain the history of the Clara Hugh and what this kind of poem is, I'm going to ask you, what is a Clara Hugh?
A Clara Hugh is a four-line form, what they call short-form verse. That is one you can remember.
Okay.
In the manner of the limerick. And it begins with the name of a person, and that sort of sets the motion going. Then you rhyme the person, and if you can get a killer rhyme on your first rhyme, half the battle is won. And then you follow, and you try to make some sense out of what your killer rhyme was. See, my feeling is that for the Clara Hugh, rhyme leads, sense follows.
So, as with limericks as well, I think.
Yeah, you start out, and really the second couplet is about the first couplet.
Right. So it's a simple rhyming scheme, A-A-B-B, right? And they're mostly four lines.
Yeah, they're all four lines. And you have to, and they come to me almost as a neurological event rather than an artistic event. It's not like I sit down and be quiet and have personal quiet time and I slowly... A Clara Hugh begins to come to me, and I write it out. There's the first line. That's perfect. But what happens is something in your soul says, Vivian Vance put cheese in her pants. And you can't let that go. You got to have two more lines. And both Swiss and Havarti, when she used to party. And you know who Vivian Vance is, right?
Yes.
It's Ethel Mertz.
Right? Not everyone knows. So.
No. So sit by Wikipedia. Many of the people I lampoon or feature, depending on how you'd like to talk about it, are commonly known names, while as many others are less commonly known names.
So they will send you scrambling for Wikipedia to figure out.
Sometimes,
what this
is about. For example, I have a word that, like, there is a guy, an English moral philosopher of the 19th century, whose name is William Whewell, spelled W-H-E-W, like whew, and then E-L-L. What kind of a name is that? That's the best name I ever saw. And you just have to do one about it.
You have to do one, although you know that none of your readers ever know.
No, and
now, before we get too deep into these poems, they're named for the person who created them.
Yes.
And he actually came up with the idea of the Clara Hugh as an alternative to the limerick because he thought that limericks were too dirty.
Yeah, they were getting so that every limerick you heard was a naughty one. And he thought he'd have a fun, easy piece of short form verse that you could teach in high school. You know, some people, he didn't have the same view of it that I did. You know, I don't have any sense of the truth. I mean, very few of the things that I write about are true. And that would just take most of the pleasure out of it.
And so, but he didn't think that people would just make these as dirty as limericks?
No, he felt
seems a little naive.
He felt that that mankind needed another chance. They'd been given the limerick. They'd blown it. Now, we'll give you the Clerihue. And the greatest follower of Edmund Clerihue, Clerihue Bentley, was the famous English Catholic convert, G.K. Chesterton. As I would say, G.K. Chesterton thought he was the best of them. But on my side of town, he's about halfway down.
Okay. So now in reading, of course, once you start reading your Clerihues, and this was a poetic function that was largely forgotten. I mean, W.H. Mm-hmm. Auden wrote some,
mm-hmm.
But then they were kind of not in practice for a while. How did you even find out about
them? I found out I was reading a literary magazine. This was back in the 70s or something, where there were billions of literary magazines. And there was a poem that was just labeled Clerihue, and it was by a native Canadian, as opposed to Native American, Opal Nations. That's a male, Opal. That's another name I'm extremely fond of. And I've been trying to get hold of him to tell him I'm going to mention him, and I cannot email him. And he might not even be alive. But he had one. Helen Keller had only a smeller, but through her teacher's zeal, learned to talk like a seal. I mean, that.
And that was published.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They would publish anything in those days. And I thought, boy, you can really have fun with these.
Well, it is almost impossible to not start trying to make your own.
Oh, absolutely.
And now I immediately started trying to make my own as soon as I learned about these poems. But in reading the introduction to the book, you feel that they have to be slightly mocking. This is not something that you write to compliment someone.
Well, I believe that Bentley might have, but mine are largely mocking. They are certainly, sometimes they are nonsensical, which is also fun, but people I remember when I first started writing them used to say, do one about me, do one about me. And I say, you don't want me to do one about you because you won't like it. It will make implications about you that you would just as soon not be made. And they'd say, no, no. And I'd make one about them and they'd say, that's terrible. And I'd say, I told you, you don't want me to make one about you.
Well, we have an example of one of your Clerihues up on our Facebook page right now. And as I mentioned, once you learn about this poetry form, you almost have to start trying to make them yourself. So we would love to hear your Clerihues this hour. Remember, it's just four lines, A-A-B-B, and it has to start with a person's name. It helps if that person is recognizable. We put up your Jeff Bezos.
Okay, right.
Clerihue.
Which you have to pronounce as Bezos, because it rhymes with Jesus.
Right.
For the forced mispronunciation is an enormously serious part of mine, especially if you can make a French speaker speak Rube French.
All right. So they have to be slightly mocking.
And if the reader and.
Right, of the reader and the subject. So I'll say it, Bezos. Jeff Bezos believed he was Jesus. He left out no detail in dismantling retail. Yeah. That's the example that we have up online. And we would love for you to post your Clara Hughes online, or you can also call us.
Oh, I would love it if you did.
Yeah, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. I wrote one about you, Paul.
Oh,
and I learned that it had to be slightly mocking, so it's just slightly. You know Paul Ingram. Prairie Lights is his kingdom, so I had to stretch a little bit.
Perfect.
Where the lost shopper stands while Paul talks with his hands.
Oh, that's like the best Paul Ingram. I mean, everybody does a Paul Ingram
right,
one,
you
and
have
that
to.
Is really, yeah,
well,
it's like an homage. Just like doing a Helen Keller one, you sort of have to do an homage,
right,
Clary
right.
Hugh, to
so
Paul Ingram.
So you started making these up, Paul. What did you do with them?
Well, people kept saying, you know, you ought to write these down. So finally, I did write them down. But the problem was I wrote them down on little bits of paper like this receipt here that I'm holding up.
Uh-huh.
And so they were lost in the innards of my house, and that thus the lost Clara Hughes of Paul Ingram. And I needed to get as many back together as I possibly could. And I had given some to various sales reps to maybe try to get them published, and they responded by sometimes bringing back 100 that I'd forgotten all about, and that was great.
Nice.
And but they are like dreams. They are gone as soon as you write them. As soon as, yeah, if you don't write them down, even the subject is gone.
It just disappears.
Yeah. If it's amazing.
They're ephemeral. All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm talking with Paul Ingram, who's the book buyer at Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City. He has just published his very first book, and it is unusual. It's called The Lost Clara Hughes of Paul Ingram. He will share many of his Clara Hughes with us, and we would love to hear your Clara Hughes as well. Remember, four lines, AABB, and they have to start with someone's name. 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. My guest right now is Paul Ingram. He is best known as the book buyer at Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City. He has just published his very first book, a surprising book. It's called The Lost Clara Hughes of Paul Ingram. And Clara Hughes, as we've been talking about, are short four-line poems. They start with somebody's name, and the rhyme scheme is AABB. According to Paul, they have to be slightly mocking. Mm-hmm. And you have a post-it note with a new one over there.
For example, Charity Nebbe escaped from Entebbe to the good old Midwest, where she interviews best.
Oh, see, that's not mocking, Paul.
No,
that's just sweet.
You're so hard to make fun of.
I think there are people who would beg to differ.
Well, so, they're in your family,
right,
though.
So, Paul, let's talk a little bit about you, because you are a fixture in Iowa City. You're famous in Iowa City, and people come to you because you are well known for being able to pick just the right book for just the right person. But where did you grow up?
I grew up in the suburbs of Washington, D.C. Didn't see a bookstore till I was maybe 16. Books were library things, so I didn't. But when I saw a bookstore, it was called Discount Book and Records in D.C., right around DuPont Circle. And it was so magical. And I asked my dad, are there other places like this? You know, and he said, yeah. And I bought, the first book I bought from a bookstore myself was the Norwegian author Per Lagerkvist's novel, The Dwarf. And being a very short kid, I somehow identified with that. And it was a great book. Believe me, I read every word. And, you know, this was my bookstore book.
Yeah.
and when I It turned out I did not have the sort of stick-to-itiveness to do serious graduate work. I went right to a bookstore.
And you went to school in
here.
Virginia.
Well, what, Virginia?
In Virginia.
First.
And then what brought you to Iowa City?
Oh, I had a. Well, it was a time where my mother died and everything was. I needed to be someplace other than Charlottesville, which was a real conservative bastion. I wanted to go someplace where I could be a hippie, maybe. This would have been in 67 or something like that.
And somebody told you Iowa City's the place to
be a
hippie?
Yeah, a friend of mine's girlfriend had been out here, and she said, Paul, don't even think about it. Go to Iowa City. And I came here, and I never thought about leaving. Never. It was exactly what I wanted.
So you got a bookstore job here, but it wasn't at Prairie Lights.
It was at Iowa Book and Supply.
Okay. How did you make it over to Prairie Lights?
Well, by way of University Bookstore, where I was both the textbook and the trade book buyer. And then I got a call from Jim Harris, and he said...
And he was the founder of Prairie Lights.
Yes. And he said, come work for me. And this was my dream, to be able to sell books to Jim Harris's customers. See, I'd been used to selling them to college kids.
Yeah.
They don't have any money. You know, they want the occasional science fiction book.
Well, they don't have any money, and a lot of them don't have time to read anything but their textbooks.
And a lot of them have never read anything anyway, and you have to explain what reading is to them.
Oh, Paul. So you started working at Prairie Lights, and was your first job there as the buyer? Is that okay?
Yeah. And and very soon after that, Clara Hughes began popping into my head. When you're around that many names of people, you look through catalogs, and here you find people whose names are A.J. Musty, who many people see as one of the great people of the 20th century, but he was just an American socialist, you know. And immediately I'd go, A.J. Musty, Randy and Lusty, you know. And soon I was annoying virtually everybody I knew by coming up to them and planting Clara Hughes between their eyes. And I finally had to stop when my wife said, Paul, no more. No more.
Really, it got to be that serious a thing. Your wife had to put her foot down and ban them from the house.
Yeah, essentially.
And dinner parties.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of them were really naughty, and some of them were insanely juvenile. And those are ones that I did not put in the book at all.
So did you, in making these up, people told you to save them, so you started saving them. Did you have an idea that someday you might be able to publish them?
Well, I sent them out to Penguin, and the guy I sent them to not only sent them right back, but said, whose idea was it that you send these to me? Which is the
so
kind
he responded kind of like your wife.
Yes, which is the sort of the equivalent of how did you get this number?
Right, right.
Yeah, when you're calling somebody that you'd really like to talk to, and they say, "How did you get this number?" Just forget it.
Right, it's all over. Yep.
And among the things that I really, my friends Ed Folsom from the English department and Bruce Wheaton, probably a theater guy, one of my oldest friends in Iowa City. Just, we all started writing him, and we started sending him back and forth. And we had such fun. And then I started calling up people and simply saying, Eleanor Roosevelt despised how her clothes felt. After only one scotch, they bound at the crotch.
Oh, my.
And then I hang out. And people would frequently know who it was. And sometimes you'd get just a marvelous response. You'd get nothing.
Well, speaking of response, we're starting to get some Clara Hughes on the line. So let's
You want to read some?
Well, let's go to Jay in Fort Dodge. He's got one about you, Paul. Hi, Jay.
How are you, Charity?
Good.
I'm just laughing. That Eleanor Roosevelt, that was great.
Oh, you like that one. Good.
And I just got to say, as a child, I had the, in elementary school, my mother was my teacher. And she was wonderful at English, and she taught me to write limericks. But I'd never heard of the Clara Hugh until just today. I'm driving between A and B for work here. It's so good to hear about Paul.
Okay,
so
great.
I penned something. I actually pulled over and penned something, and then
I'm glad
it.
You pulled over.
Yes,
first.
It's not safe to write while you drive.
Indeed. Okay. Foot races Paul Ingram. Quite often he winned them. He'd pen Clara Hugh as he right past you. He flew.
Oh, people have done the most original stuff about. That's great.
Jay, that's great. Thank you so much.
You
yeah, thanks for calling. And I know Ingram's not easy to rhyme.
No, it's a tough rhyme.
You have Bruce Wheaton who wrote
Yeah, right.
He wrote a Clara Hugh for you in your book. Paul Ingram used to finger him, but now he does worse. He insults him in verse.
And the guy who did an article on me for Little Village, he did a wonderful one which went, Paul Ingram writes Clara Hugh. I asked him to share a few.
Nice.
He replied, you're a crook. Go buy the book.
That's great. Well, Joe in Cedar Falls has a Clara Hugh to share as well. Hi, Joe.
Hey.
Hi. This could backfire on me, and it's very short, but it goes something like this. And it's dedicated to a guy I play golf with.
Okay.
Old Dennis Nebby played golf aplenty, striking a pose in his white support hose.
That's about my
Beautiful.
Dad. That's about my
go.
Dad, Joe. Thanks a lot.
Oh, bye. Excellent.
All right. You can join us with your Clara Hughes at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. I'm talking with Paul Ingram, the author of The Lost Clara Hughes of Paul Ingram. And you have started a new trend here. We've got a couple tweets with Charity Nebbe Clara Hughes
as well.
So Becca tweets, Charity Nebbe is like Little Debbie. She's not one to boast us, but she's one fine hostess.
That's
very nice. And here's someone called Captain Awesome Pants says, Charity Nebbe talked up a bevy till the emerald ash bore. Then she talked only of horror. That's beautiful.
Yeah, that's nice.
All right. Holly's on the phone in Omaha with a question about another form of verse. Hi, Holly.
Hello. I wondered if Mr. Ingram has heard of a double dactyl.
Oh, higgledy-piggledies.
Yes, higgledy.
They're harder. They're much harder to write. But they're fun.
What are they?
It's four lines. Has to have the nonsense syllable in it. With the rhythm, ba-da-da, ba-da-da.
Double dactyls.
And then someone's name.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if I can remember this, Higgledy Piggledy, Capulet Montague, had lovely children, a daughter and son, interfamilial, quarreling and fighting and squabbling, however, spoiled all the fun.
Oh, that's
nice.
Great. There's one about...
That sounds a lot more challenging.
Oh, yeah. Anthony Hecht has a wonderful volume of Higgledy Piggledies. I don't think it's in print anymore, but they are, Higgledy Piggledy, Ludwig van Beethoven. You know, he went through people who had a name that went da 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 da. And I'm not good at those. As I understand, the great Donald Justice was really not good at Clara Hughes, and. It's a precise ability, and it has not much to do with talent.
So it either comes to you or it doesn't.
That's my feeling. I wouldn't want to give a Clara Hugh class. I although I might be pressed to do right. so, as people almost always do with this kind of thing.
Yeah, so you're saying it would be hard to teach?
Yeah. It's a, you know, I really do think of it as neurological.
You're comparing it like to Tourette's syndrome or something like that, where it just sort of hits you and you have to say it?
Sort of, yeah.
Okay.
And one of my oldest friends got back to me with a Clarihue. I felt I had not talked to him in a long time, and it was great. He had Julia Ward Howe fell in love with a cow. The cow remarked, "Moo," replied Julia, "Moo too." Which is the ultimate sort of minimalist Clarihue.
Oh, wow. So, Paul, you know, as I mentioned before, you are known for being able to pick books for people who come into the store. You've described yourself as a shy guy. And so you're interacting with strangers a lot. I mean, obviously, you've created mm-hmm. a lot of relationships yeah. over the years.
The bookstore changed my shyness.
Yeah, you had to start
talking to
people.
It gave me something to talk about. So I could go up to somebody and say, "What do you like to read?" We're already in my comfort zone, and it's very, you know, it's easy, you know.
So how do you, it's almost like you do a little session with them. You figure out something about them mm-hmm. that gives you clues as to what they might like to read. How do you do that?
I do that by just being friendly with them, and it's not that hard to make guesses about what people are like. And sometimes I'm wrong, but I'm usually right. I'm usually, you know, I'm very frank. I say, "This one has a lot of sex in it. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? This one is funny. Is that a good thing?" You know, I get basic questions
right.
out there. So I don't waste my time doing funny books when this person only likes serious books, or short stories when this person has never read a book of short stories.
Does it pain you when it becomes very clear that someone likes books that you hate, that you have to recommend something for them that is something that you wouldn't read?
No. I'm glad they're reading. I'm very glad they're reading. You know, they could be playing video games. You know,
the horror.
Yeah, that's very much the horror. Yeah. And I like to talk to both my high end and my low end readers. I love it when someone says, "Do you have anything by Marcel Proust?" There is a Clara Hewitt which forces you to say Proust, by the way. And you know, and I think that's great. I think it's great that they don't hang out with people who talk like that, who talk about Proust.
Right.
But they've read about it, and they're curious.
We have some more Clara Hughes to share
great.
Before we run out of time. This one is from Pablo. "George Armstrong Custer did all he could muster, but there wasn't much to do against an army of angry Sioux."
Oh, very good.
Nice.
Very good.
A history lesson there. Mm-hmm. This one is from Mike. "Barack Obama eats at La Casa Blanca. He's one cool dude who digs Mexican food." And this one is from Jan in Mason City. Again, you've started a Charity Nebbe Clarihue trend. Jan says, "Charity Nebbe is not at all flabby. She likes Iowa food shows so we can find good grows."
No, that's great. I hope you get hundreds.
So, Paul, I mean, we have to go here, but you've been selling the book. A lot of people have been having a lot of fun with this. Is there a follow-up in the works? Because clearly you're inspired to keep writing Clara Hughes.
No, I'm not sure, but I want to write another kind of book, and I'm not sure I have time. I just want to tell people, Monday night,
right.
the 23rd, from 5 to 8, we're having a launch party, as they call them in New York, and we'll have...
At Prairie Lights Bookstore.
At Prairie Lights.
Of course.
And there'll be food, and there's a cash bar, and we'll have a good time.
All right.
And it's free and open to all.
All right. Monday the 23rd, a launch party at Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City. And we will go with another Clara Hugh. This is from Kurt. Paul Ingram laughed at my gingham, preferring to pose with an upturned nose. Thank you so much for being here today, Paul.
Oh, believe me, it was fun.
The Lost Clara Hughes of Paul Ingram, published by Ice Cube Press. You can find Paul on Facebook under The Lost Clara Hughes of Paul Ingram. He's even been tweeting his Clara Hughes. They're really the perfect length for that. Coming up in just a moment, we'll talk about important humanitarian and medical work taking place in Haiti. This is Talk of Iowa.